that song right there. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time to escape the service. 3, 4, 5-year-olds. Now's your time to go. I appreciate those who are serving with you. I saw you up there, Brother Artie. He waved his hand at me. He's going downstairs. I don't know what that means. I feel sorry for the 3, 4, and 5-year-old class if Artie Hall's going back there. No doubt about it. And we appreciate those serving back there. That's very, very good. Look at them sisters holding hands going out the door right there. Isn't that precious? Good night. Just put some chocolate on them and eat them up tonight. You know what I mean? That is precious right there. No doubt about it. Now they're trying to hold hands and coming back down the aisle. That's good. I like that. Very good. Precious. Precious. Very good. That was right on cue there, too. That was outstanding. Very, very good. I think she's crying because Artie just come back at the service. There he is. Yes, I'd be crying too, no doubt about it. Very good. I'd like you to find your place in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and wait on me there. It'll take me just a few minutes to get there. I'm coming back to my study on sound doctrine. And we're right in the middle right now of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. It's really the doctrine of God Himself, and then we've looked at several things about Him. And we're under the main topic that God is a Trinity. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've already preached on God the Father. We've preached on God the Son. And we are currently under our study on God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God manifested in three ways. And we've come to this thought here tonight as we pick up our study. And again, I remind you that once I'm done with this series here, I'll make my sermon notes available to you if you'd like to have them. It's going to be hard to keep up with me because I am on page 32 of my notes, just under the doctrine of God. And we've looked at this here. Let's pray together, and then I'll bring us up to date with where we are. And I'm going to try to give you three more things tonight, okay? Father, would you bless this service? Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from the Word of God. May you deal with us thoroughly, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we've been studying on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God, we're looking at several things about Him. I've already preached on a lot of this. Let me just bring us up to date on it. First of all, we noticed His titles. In other words, the different names that He has. Secondly, we noticed His types. He is known as water. He is known as oil. He's known as fire. Just different types. We looked at His traits, in other words, His characteristics, and now we're currently under what I have entitled His treatment. His treatment. I'm trying to start all of these with the same letter just to help you remember some of these things. This fourth major thing that I started on this past Wednesday night concerns how the Holy Spirit of God can be treated, how He can be treated. In other words, the Word of God brings out several things that we can do to Him or with Him. And I call this His treatment. And by the way, these several things that we can either do to Him or with Him, there are several negative ones and several positive ones. In other words, there are many things that He can be treated in that way that we should never do. You understand? Then on the flip side, there are other things that we ought to do to and with Him that we should do. Now, we're currently, first of all, letter A under this, we're under the negative treatment of the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, a list of the negative things that can be done to Him or with Him that you and I should pray that we never are guilty of doing these things. Now, Wednesday night, I gave you four of them. Let me just mention them. If you want it in detail, go back and get it. It's been recorded. First of all, negative treatment. His treatment, first letter A, the negative treatment. There's seven of them. Four of them I've already given you Wednesday night. Number one, they were He can be vexed. He can be vexed. This is found in Isaiah 63, 8 through 10. Number two, He can be blasphemed. This is found in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Number three, He can be lied to. This is Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And number 4, He can be resisted. That's Acts chapter 7, verse 51. That's Wednesday night. Go back and get it. Now we pick up with the fifth major negative treatment of the Holy Spirit of God. There's three more I want to get to tonight. Number five, here it is. You're in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice it now. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So number five, negative treatment is, he can be grieved. He can be grieved. Now the word grieve here, where it says grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, that word grieve means to be made sad. It means to be sorrowful. And it means to be in heaviness. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been heavy? You understand what I mean when I ask that? Ever been made heavy because you're sad or you're very sorrowful and you're carrying a heavy load? Do you understand that we can do the same thing to the Holy Spirit? God's Holy Spirit can be saddened. He can be made sorrowful. And we can become a heavy burden to Him. Look here. I don't want to do that to Him, do you? Now stay with me here. This verse here is written to God's children. This is written to God's people. Which tells me this, it is possible for us to live in such a way that we cause the Holy Spirit to be sad. We cause the Holy Spirit to be sorrowful, and we cause Him to be very heavy. Now, beginning in verse number 17, let's just do a Bible study tonight, okay? Look at verse number 17, and I'm going towards a major thought here, okay? What is it that grieves Him? What is it that makes Him sad? What is it in the child of God that makes Him sorrowful? What is it in the child of God that makes Him heavy, burdened down? And look at verse 17 and read with me here. Look at verse 17 and following. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Reading on. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, and it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now when you read those verses, there's one major thought he's teaching. Let me walk through these verses with you. Verses 17 to 19, he tells us, talking to his children, that we are not to walk as unbelievers walk. We are not to live like the unbelievers. In verses 17 to 19, he says, don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Don't give yourselves over to lasciviousness. That means over to lust, over to lewdness. Don't do it. He's saying, don't work uncleanness with greediness. Don't be greedy and unclean. Verses 22 to 29, he teaches that we're to put off the old man, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he starts giving some things. He says, put away lying. Don't give place to the devil. Don't steal anymore, but work with your hands. Let no corrupt, empty, vain communication come out of your mouth. Verses 31 and 32, he says to put away, let go of all bitterness, let go of all wrath, let go of all anger and clamor and evil speaking, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Now, when you read all of that, here's the point. In context, this is when he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
In those verses, right in those verses, the context before and after, he's teaching us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what that tells me? Those are the things that grieve him. Now, here's the point. When you put all of verses 17 through verse 32 together, here's what he's saying. He's saying we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God when we as God's children do not talk and do not walk like a Christian. That's what he's teaching. If you don't talk like a Christian and you don't act like a Christian, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It saddens him. It's heaviness to him. It's sorrowful to him. In other words, we can grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not live out the change that's taken place in our heart and life. The Word of God teaches that if we're in Christ, we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And there's a lot of Christians today who are still living like they were never born again. Now, folks, there's something wrong with somebody like that. Now, I'm not asking, are we perfect? Nobody's perfect, but we ought to at least try to live like a Christian. And we ought to talk like a Christian. Let me ask you a question. Did you talk like a Christian this week? Did you live like a Christian this week? Let me ask you a question. Is there any bitterness in your heart tonight? Is there any anger in your heart or clamor or evil speaking? All of these things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something, what we need. We need a Holy Spirit sent, I mean God sent revival is what we need. And I'm going to tell you one reason we're not having it. It's not unbelievers. It's God's people who are grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just telling you, that's the truth. And we need to search our own hearts. This is not a message to say, I'll tell you one thing, boy, I hope he's getting this. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Boy, I hope she's listening. Boy, she needs this. No, this is a message where the Holy Spirit of God shining the light in my heart, searching my heart. Is there anything in there that's grieving him? Anything that's making him sad? Anything that's making him sorrowful? Anything that's causing him heaviness? John R. Rice put it well when he gave an illustration like this. He said this. He said, if we have an important and greatly respected guest in the home, how careful are we to see that nothing offends? There are clean towels in the room. The housewife is so careful to see that just such food is served as will please the guest. The guest is given the best bed, a place of honor at the table, the best silverware is brought out, the loveliest cut glass and china. I'm quoting here. Dad tries to be more than usually entertaining. Mother makes her choice desserts, and the children try to be on their best behavior. But how a sensitive and cultured guest might be grieved if there were filth in the home, if there were wrangling and quarreling and profane language and drunkenness. And how do you suppose the Holy Spirit feels, he who dwells always lovingly within the body of the Christian, when the life is given over to things unclean and worldly? And I say amen, Dr. Rice. You know, it's a sad day when we would treat our home with more respect when a guest comes in than we treat our spiritual home of the God of heaven who lives inside of us all the time. Now, we live, let's just be honest, we lose sight every now and then that God's in us. Because if you could see him, there are some things going on in a congregation this size, and you say, does he know? Did somebody call him? No. I don't have anything in my mind. Nothing, honestly. God knows my heart. But in a crowd this size, there's no question that there's things going on in people's lives that if they could literally see God, they would never say that, never go there, never do that. This is the point here. If God lives in you, his Holy Spirit's in you, he is your guest, he is your indwelling master, he is living in you, and we ought to live like it. That's what he's teaching here. If God's in me, let me live like that and let me talk like that. Because if I don't live like it and I don't talk like it, I'm going to grieve him, make him sad, make him sorrowful, and make him heavy. You get that? Can I move on? So are you living like a Christian? Are you talking like a Christian? Let me give you the next one. Flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're looking at the treatment of the Holy Spirit of God. The treatment of the Holy Spirit of God. How we can treat Him. What we can do to Him or with Him. And first of all, under this, we're looking at the negative treatment. Those things that are done to Him that we should pray we never do to Him. The first one tonight is to grieve Him. He can be grieved. Number 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19, it says this, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. So number 5, He can be grieved. Number 6, He can be quenched. Now, the Holy Spirit, when we preached on the types of the Holy Spirit, one of His types is He is like fire. Okay? And since He's likened to fire, right here, the Word of God shows us that that fire can be quenched. Quenched. In other words, just as a literal fire can be quenched, so can the Holy Spirit. When you quench a fire, you disrupt and destroy its impact and influence. In other words, if you take water, there's a fire going on right here, and you drench it, you quench that fire, then the heat is gone, the impact is gone, it's not going to burn anything up. But if it burns, it gives heat. It can burn things up, everything else. Now, folks, the way that you can quench a fire is with water or earth. You can pour water on it, you can just take a bunch of earth and throw on it. Anybody know where I'm going right there? The fact of the matter is this, do you understand that the fire of the Holy Spirit, His influence, what He wants to do in your life, what He's trying to impact you with, His impact, His influence, His power to change your life. Now you can't quench His power, but you can quench His influence. He's trying to work. He's trying to move. He's trying to make you more and more like Christ. And you can either flame that fire or you can quench that fire. One preacher put it this way. Remember when you were first saved? How something ripped you? How all of a sudden something got a hold of your heart and tried to stop you when you're about to do something wrong? A voice was hammering away at your conscience. There was, as it were, a red light swinging across your path like the light at the railroad crossing warning of an approaching train. What was that? What is that? That's the Holy Spirit trying to just blurt out warnings against danger. Don't go that way. Go this way. Stay away from there. Go over here. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit does that? He does it all the time. But when you ignore it, in other words, He says, don't do it. Don't, and you know it. He's working. His fire is burning at that time when you ignore it. And when you go ahead and do your own thing and you override the warning, the urging, that prompting of the Spirit, if you continue in such a course, soon His voice is getting weaker and weaker in your heart. You begin to quench Him. And after a while, you don't see any harm in anything. You know, one of the saddest things is to see when a Christian loses their power to discriminate between right and wrong. I'm talking about, have you ever heard a Christian? I mean, you know they're saved. But they say, well, what's wrong with that anyway? I mean, I don't understand why I can't do that. What's so bad about it? Let me tell you what's happened. Either number one, they're not saved. Or number two, they have quenched the Holy Spirit of God. They've quenched Him. They put His fire out. He was trying to say, no, no, no. And they said, no, no, no. And His fire just started getting smaller and smaller. He's still the mighty power, but He's not going to force Himself on us. That's the point here. He's not going to force Himself on us. I'm telling you, we need to understand this. The prophet Isaiah said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God means it's a sad day for a child of God when he's lost his power to discriminate between right and wrong. These are they who say, I can't see any harm in this. I don't see any harm in taking a little drink every now and then. I can't see what the problem is. What's the problem with not coming to church on Sunday night? Who created Sunday night service anyway? You ever heard somebody talk like that? Show me Sunday night service in the Word of God and Wednesday night and I'll come. But why in the world do they expect us to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Because God told you to be here. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you have Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. When the house of God is open, you and I should be in it. Because God said it. And when God, the Holy Spirit of God, starts working and moving and plowing and working and saying, don't do that, or yes, do that, please go there, stop that, start this, when we say no, we quench him. His voice may not be as loud the next time. It becomes easier to say no. You know, the point here is don't fight against him. Don't fight against him. He will not force himself on us. Let me ask you a question, could he? Yes. But in his love and sovereignty and in his grace and mercy, he gives us a free will. Let me ask you a question. If you're married, I'll just use myself. I do not want my wife, by the way, she's homesick. That's why you're not seeing her tonight. The girls are with her and they're struggling with sickness too, but pray for her. Amen. I'll guarantee you this. I don't have my wife chained down tonight. She's free to leave tonight if she wanted to. She doesn't. Amen. I'll guarantee you this. I'm glad I don't have to force my wife to love me. I'm glad I don't have to force my wife to stay with me. I'm glad she wants to love me. What's there not to love anyway, friend? I mean, honestly. I'm glad she wants to be with me. Look here, please. God could force every one of us if he wanted to. And by the way, one day he is. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. But in his love and sovereign grace, he wants us to choose to submit. He really does. And when we submit, he blesses. When we say no and do not submit, it quenches his spirit. You know what I want to do, spiritually speaking? I want to pour gasoline on that fire, don't you? Amen, friends. We need the Holy Spirit of God, his power, his influence. Got to have him. I need his control. I need his wisdom. I need his guidance. Don't let me quench him. Let me stoke the fire, not quench the fire. How do you quench it? By saying no. God, help us with this. So that's the sixth thing. The seventh thing. Boy, this is a wow. Wow. This next one should motivate us, hallelujah, to go to the ends of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the seventh thing that can happen with negative treatment towards the Holy Spirit of God. Flip over to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. So tonight we're looking at three separate treatments of him, things that we can do to him or with him. Number one tonight, he can be grieved. We can grieve him if we don't live like a Christian and talk like a Christian. He can be quenched. We quench him whenever we don't submit to him and we live our own way and don't submit ourselves to his leadership and guidance. And then number three tonight, this is number seven if you're keeping notes, but number three tonight, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and following. The Bible says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. There it is, done despite under the Spirit of grace. I'll explain it in just a moment. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now notice this right here. The Bible says in verse 26 that if we have the knowledge of the truth, not that we've accepted the truth, but we have the knowledge of it. You see the difference? If you know the truth, if the Holy Spirit of God has revealed the truth of the gospel to you, and you say no, the Bible says that a person like that has done despite under the Spirit of grace. You know what those words done despite means? You ready for this? It means you have insulted him. Look it up. So the seventh thing under negative treatment, I hope I'm not confusing you, is he can be insulted. He can be insulted. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody like to be insulted? Nobody, right? Anybody say, hey, anybody can insult me. I kind of enjoy that. No. Do you understand that when lost people hear the truth of the gospel and they go on in sin anyway, they are insulting the Holy Spirit of God? This tells us that it is possible to insult God's Spirit. In context, the way he is insulted is when he reveals the truth, the knowledge of the truth, and they just go on and sin willfully anyway. This tells me that those who have heard the gospel, they know the truth. They know Jesus saves, and they know they're a sinner, and they know they need to be saved. They know that. But they willingly say no, and they just keep on going down the broad path to destruction. They know better, but they choose to go on towards hell. They are insulting the Holy Spirit of God. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's a bad day. Whenever somebody insults the Holy Spirit of God. I like what a preacher said here. He tells a story. This was Joe Henry Hankins. He put it this way. He said, if we sin willfully after we have come to the knowledge of the truth, after the Holy Spirit has opened the understanding, in other words, you understand the truth of the gospel, after he's knocked at the heart's door and called and drawn people to salvation, and has aroused the mind and heart to a sense of a need of a Savior, he's opened the understanding to see the way of salvation is Jesus Christ, then we deliberately, willfully go away into sin. The Bible says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment under and fiery indignation. The crisis of somebody's life, the most crucial moment that somebody will ever face this side of eternity, is when the Holy Spirit calls at their heart's door with that gentle, loving, knocking and wooing, and draws that person unto salvation. In other words, this is what you need. You're a sinner. Trust Christ. If that happens, and it could be happening tonight in this auditorium, don't turn away from him. Because if you turn away from him, you insult him. And he may never come knocking again. There's a story in Childress, Texas, a boy by the name of Clyde. This preacher who's telling this story, Joe Henry Hankins, is telling this story. Clyde was a 17-year-old high school boy. He sat in the service one night in the balcony. He sat near the rail and leaning over, he listened intently to the message. This preacher telling the story said, I saw him as the Holy Spirit gripped his heart. And as he wiped perspiration from his, you know, just from his brow, he was sweating. He was under conviction. I saw him as we stood for the invitation, and as we sang, Clyde gripped the balcony railing. If you can imagine the preacher watching this, and he trembled like a leaf in the wind. He was shaking, holding on to the balcony railing. This preacher said, I saw him stand there and saw his face turn pale as he looked at me. The preacher said, I kept motioning for him to come. He said, I knew the Spirit of God was calling. I said, come on, come on. Many times during an invitation, the preacher said he saw him start and then he would draw back and shake his head. No. Preacher's watching this during an invitation. After a while, the preacher said he saw him step into the aisle. He stepped into the aisle and he said, come on. I saw him step back. I kept calling. He stood there and trembled. I kept calling for him to come. I saw him shake his head, no, and start down the steps of the balcony. But instead of coming forward in the invitation, he went out and ran out into the dark. 3 weeks later, this preacher went to his home. And just 3 weeks later, this boy now has leukemia. 17 years old. The preacher said, I went that morning and sat by his bedside and tried to lead him to Christ. And finally, here's what that 17-year-old boy said. He said, Brother Hankins, of course he wasn't a brother to him, but he said, Brother Hankins, I appreciate your coming. But I had my last call 3 weeks ago, Sunday night. You kept urging me to come. You knew what was taking place in my heart. I started to come once. I just felt like I would have to come. I gripped the balcony rail, but when I started, you saw me step out in the aisle. The devil whispered, Clyde, you're the leader of the high school dancing crowd. You're the most popular young man in the high school. Are you going to give it up? I'm reading directly here. That's a direct quote. So I stepped back and shook my head and I said, I will go to hell before I will do it. Just in his heart. I'll go to hell before I do it. And that's why I walked out. He said, I want to tell you, preacher, something in here, pointing to his heart. He said, something in here died. And you need not talk to me about being a Christian. My heart's as cold and as dead as a stone. The preacher said, thank you. Perhaps he had not been told that his disease was fatal. I said, Clyde, has the doctor told you what the trouble is? Clyde said, yes, he was here this morning. He told me I had just 3 or 4 more days to live. The preacher said, I got on my knees beside his bed. And I read out of God's word the plan of salvation. And if ever I prayed my life for a young man that God would give him another chance, I prayed then. When I got off my knees, he said, thank you, Brother Hankins. But I've had my chance. I can't. Something died in here. And that young man died without God. Look here, please. You cannot trifle with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, I thought God was a God of love, a God of patience. He is. And he loved him so much that he got a hold of him in the balcony and told him to come. But it's up to God how long he leaves the door open. And if God is dealing with somebody tonight about your soul salvation, in your heart you're like, good night. The Holy Spirit's telling me I need to be saved. Look here, please. It is foolish to leave this auditorium saying no. Because if you do, the Holy Spirit of God will be insulted. And he may never speak to you again. I like it when it's quiet in God's house. I also like it when people shout if God's in it. But there's nothing wrong with silence.
Because I've learned something. When God is working and moving, either people will shout or people will shut their face. And I think tonight the Holy Spirit of God is moving. And He's saying, don't grieve me. Don't quench me. And if there's one lost, don't insult me. May God help us to see the importance of this. Friends, I am so unworthy to preach on the Holy Spirit of God. I honestly, right now, I'm sensing in my heart, oh God, help me not to offend you. And I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has helped me tonight to share with you three major thoughts. Child of God, don't quench Him. Say yes to whatever He tells you to do. Child of God, don't grieve Him. Live like a Christian, talk like a Christian. Unbeliever, stop insulting Him and say, thank you for speaking to me. I want Jesus. I need to be saved. You with me tonight? You got it? Amen? May God help us to understand it. Look here, please. As we prepare for the invitation, this message tonight could be a message, honestly, that could change for the better Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Could you imagine if we had men, women, teenagers, and children coming to the altar as God's children saying, God, help me from this point forward not to quench or grieve you. And could you imagine if somebody, just one person who's lost tonight, would come down this aisle, get on their face, and say, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to insult you. Thank you for speaking to me. And I want to be saved tonight. I want to trust Christ. It can change our church. What church doesn't need to be changed? We all need to be changed. May God help us with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father, would you bless this? Challenge us from your word. Guide us by your Spirit. This is such a sensitive time. Holy Spirit of God, I can sense in my heart that you are working tonight. Oh God, have your way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Has God, the Holy Spirit, spoken to you? Has it been something that maybe God's just saying, you know, just don't do this, don't do that, don't do this? Talking tonight about the negative treatment that can be done to the Spirit of God. He can be vexed, he can be blasphemed, he can be lied to, he can be resisted. That's Wednesday night. Tonight he can be grieved, he can be quenched, and he can be insulted. Is there one tonight, say Jody, and I'm starting with the last one, insulting the Holy Spirit of God. Is there somebody tonight that's come to this church service but you've never come to Christ? And the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you saying you need Jesus, you need to be saved. You need salvation. You need to be born again. Away with the games. You need to know you're going to heaven. Is there somebody tonight, say Jody, pray for me, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. But I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. And I don't want to insult the Holy Spirit of God. Be honest. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you. It only matters what God knows about you. And if God is speaking to you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need Jesus. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. And I know it. I know it. In the balcony down below, you say, Jody, I don't want to insult him. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You say, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I've not insulted him. But boy, God is speaking and dealing in my heart about not grieving and quenching him. That doesn't mean that you are. It's just maybe the Holy Spirit saying, just live in such a way that you don't quench me, grieve me. Have you say, Jody, God used the message tonight. He spoke to me. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to me. Be honest, would you raise your hand? He spoke to you tonight. May God help us. May God help us, all of us. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. Some have already responded. And as he begins to sing, come. Father, would you take it and use it? In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, would you get out of your seat? Would you come right now? Would you come?
Search me, O God.
Come right now. Right now.
And know my heart.
Give it to the Lord.
Today.
Talk to God.
Try me, O
God. No grieving, no quenching. Thy will be done in our lives.
I pray,
Holy Spirit of God, have your way with us.
See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and
playing through softly. We'll sing that verse again here in just a moment, Brother Gary. How many of you know somebody insulting the Holy Spirit of God? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody that's insulting him. That means you know somebody who's lost. They know the truth, but they've said no to him. Would you raise your hand? Big and high, big and high. You know somebody like that? Let me say something to you. Matter of fact, I'd like you to lower your hands. Look at me just a moment. Because you're raising your hand for somebody else. I want to talk to you for just a moment. Brother Gary's going to sing. I may sing with him here on this same verse. It's up to God how often he speaks. God never said, I'll give you 10 chances. Never said that. He said he'll draw all men to himself, and he did that at Calvary. Amen. The Holy Spirit draws people to the cross. He tells them that they need Jesus. But how many times he comes back to them to give them an opportunity is up to him. Let me tell you how your prayers can make a difference. Are you listening? Your prayers cannot save them because God the Holy Spirit will not force himself on them. He's not going to say, you're going to be saved. I don't care if you like it or not. God doesn't do that. But here's how your prayers and my prayers can impact. Here's what we need to pray. Oh God, would you leave the door open? Oh God, would you speak to them again? Oh God, would you not close the door? You understand? Does your heart not break for the lost people? They've insulted God's Spirit. They're going to burn in hell. Your prayers can make a difference. George Mueller, I think I'm right by saying this, prayed for over 50 years for one of, I think it was his brother. It was a friend or a brother. Over 50 years he prayed for him, and the man got saved after George Mueller was dead and gone. But I am convinced that one reason that man trusted Christ is because God heard the prayers of George Mueller and left the door open for over 50 years. So who will pray for the lost? Who will pray for the door to stay open and for the Holy Spirit of God, even when he's been insulted, to go back again and knock again? You got it? We're going to sing this, and if God is prompting, if God's Spirit's prompting you, you need to go pray for them. You need to pray for them. Don't quench him. Pray for him. If he wants you to come forward and do it, do it. If he wants you to do it right there at your seat, do it. But by all means, pray for those people. that God will keep the door open. Let's sing this verse, Brother Gary. And if God is speaking to you to come forward to pray for these lost people, whatever it is, let's sing this together, shall we?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and save me free.
Father, would you take this thought tonight, these thoughts, and challenge our hearts. May we, as your children, live our life in such a way that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. May we live in such a way that we do not quench the Holy Spirit. And may we spend our life helping others not insult the Holy Spirit. Challenge us. Help us to leave here tonight saying, God has spoken to me. And may we take the truth and allow it to change our lives. And may this church go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, giving the gospel across the street and across the seas. We pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. She's playing through. Let me give you some final instructions tonight. To remind you about the books that are available for you out in the lobby. Brother Larry Harrison's here. We always appreciate him being here. God bless you, sir. Please take advantage of those good books out there. Good deals, everything about that. We're thrilled to have him. Always our honor to have him here. Take advantage of those books out there in the lobby as you leave. I do encourage you to sign up for the family event with Dr. David Gibbs as you leave tonight. And then try to get some of these invite cards. They're on the Welcome Center. The billboard will be up, God willing, this week. That'll match this and help us get the word out about it. And if you are visiting with us, thank you for being here. And I encourage you to take your card out through the lobby, drop it off to Welcome Center. Have somebody there to greet you and to give you a special gift just to say thank you. And I remind all the young ladies, teenagers, above about 30 years or so, about this special singing group starting on Wednesday night at 6:15. You'll be right in your place. Let's all stand together, please, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Appreciate you being here tonight, okay? Brother Larry Trent, sir, please.